And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Welcome to another presentation of the Gospel Herald, a ministry of the Lancaster Seventh-day Adventist Church. We'd like to invite you to worship with us each Sabbath morning. Our services begin at about 9:30 with Bible study, and our worship service begins at about 11. Everyone is welcome. We've just been reading from the shortest chapter in the book of Revelation, chapter 15. Many times people read the book of Revelation with awe and wonder, imagining all the beasts and symbols as being too much for comprehension. Due to their own fears and insecurities, they leave one of the most wonderful books of the Bible untouched. Today, we'll be exploring this book of mystery, for it's really no mystery at all. Revelation chapter 15 is remarkably linked to another chapter in another book of the Bible. That parallel chapter is Exodus chapter 15. In the book of Exodus, we read of ancient Israel as they left their slavery in Egypt. They sang a song of deliverance, the song of Moses. In Revelation, we read of modern Israel. They too sing a song of deliverance, the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. In Exodus 15, we read about Pharaoh, his chariots and elite captains, the best of the best being cast into the sea and destroyed. These people see their pursuers washed up on the side of the sea, and they burst out in song praising God for his deliverance. They have experienced the Exodus, and they sing the song of Moses. In Revelation 15, we have a similar picture. We read about those who are standing on the other side of the sea, who have come through great difficulties and tribulations, and who have been impressed with the awesome power of God to redeem and to give victory over the beast, his image, his mark, and over the number of his name, a trinity of evil. They have experienced the final Exodus, and we are told in the Bible that they sing the song of Moses, the bond servant of God, because there is a similarity. There is a parallel between the people of God at the Red Sea and the people of God who are living in this last day of deliverance and final exodus before Jesus comes. We sing the same song because of what the Lamb does in his sacrificial death and resurrection to life in his final judgment. The book of Revelation brings us imagery that is steeped in the book of Exodus. And when we talk about Exodus, we don't think just of the children of Israel literally coming out of Egypt, but we're talking about a whole series of connected events. God sending judgments on the Egyptians and releasing Israel through a judgment where there is a sacrificial lamb and the shedding of blood, passing through the Red Sea and wilderness into the Promised Land. The whole experience is seen as one of Exodus in the minds and hearts of the Bible writers. The Exodus becomes one of the most significant symbols of biblical faith in Scripture. In fact, the Exodus provides the plot and background for the gospel story. What God is saying through the children of Israel and what happened to them in Egypt is the plot that will reoccur in history. God's people will experience that, and in the end, the story will read, God's people have been redeemed from Egypt by the blood of the Lamb. Much of the book of Isaiah is rooted in Exodus imagery. The last half is filled with it. The book of Psalms is also filled with Exodus imagery. Deuteronomy and Joshua are also filled with it. And in the New Testament, where Jesus is called out of Egypt, he spends 40 days in the wilderness, just like the children of Israel spent 40 years. Jesus is seen as the new Moses, and Jesus is seen as leading the new exodus from sin and the bondage of slavery to the promised land where there is no sin. The exodus plan is also seen in many of the writings of the Apostle Paul. In Hebrews, for instance, and in the first letter of Peter, where Egypt is the symbol of oppression and suffering and bondage is seen over and over. Interestingly, the book of Revelation develops the Exodus idea more than any other New Testament book. In fact, when Revelation quotes the book of Isaiah, and Isaiah is quoted in Revelation more than any other book, it is sections in Isaiah that are rooted in the Exodus. And wherever Revelation quotes from the Psalms, the Psalms are developing Exodus imagery. Exodus forms the backdrop for the book of Revelation. Think with me for a moment. Where is the Exodus found in the book of Revelation? Well, we've already seen it right here in chapter 15 with the Song of Moses and standing by the side of the sea. But there is also frequent reference to the I Am. Remember Moses and the burning bush, and Moses asking God who it was that he was talking to. And God told Moses, I am. In Revelation, over and over, you find God calling himself the one who is, who was, and who is to come. The Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. There is also reference to the plagues and to the wilderness. It is the apostate Babylon that is found in the wilderness. There is also reference to the Passover and the redemptive, delivering quality of blood. There is reference to the forming of a kingdom of priests and the reference to a mark and a sign. The reference of keeping names in a book goes all the way back to the book of Exodus. There is the image of God dwelling in a temple and how it is God's plan to dwell among us. That's what the sanctuary is all about. Let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. We also see the idea that, in the end, we will see and speak to God face to face. Moses was the one who saw God and spoke to him face to face. The Exodus is a message of good news to those of us who seek deliverance from the morally weakening influence of the world. It touches each of us, for we have all been down to Egypt. We have all been in slavery to sin. Let's read in Exodus chapter 2, verse 23. And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. Now, when Israel first went into Egypt, you will remember that Pharaoh gave them the best of the land of Goshen. They lived at ease. They were prosperous and had everything that they needed. But as time went on, they began to feel the whip of the taskmaster and increasing brutality and the aborting of their children and then the murdering of children. The passage we just read indicates that the oppression became deeper and stronger and more intense. Now you hear the sigh of a nation, not just the sigh of an individual or a family, but a nation. They wonder about God. Are they trapped forever? Is there any hope for release? The seeming silence of God only intensifies their oppression. In Revelation, we read a similar tale. In chapter 6, we see the image of souls under the altar crying out, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Yes, that's the cry of our hurting, lonely planet. We began with a passage in chapter 15 that says, They were victorious over the beast and his image, and over the number of his name. The very word victorious means that there was a struggle. The books of Exodus and Revelation reveal to us themes of bondage and oppression and the overwhelming need for deliverance. People want relief. Bullied people want fairness. The pushed around want dignity. The oppressed want freedom. The guilty conscience wants peace. And the enslaved to sin and habit want freedom as well. Psalm 13, 1 and 2 says it well. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? That's the cry of the world. And what does Exodus chapter 2 tell us? And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. That's what we've been talking about. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And friends, here's the good news. In verse 24, "And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them." Here we find four statements about God. God heard, God saw, God remembered his promises, and God knew. God was not sleeping. He well knew the plight of his children, and he remembered his promises. That's what we find in the book of Revelation. We find Jesus telling the church of Smyrna in Revelation 2:9, "I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan." "Do not fear what you are about to suffer," Jesus says. How can he say that? Because he knows. He sees. He hears. Twice in the book of Revelation, God wipes away tears from our eyes. Why? He wipes them away because he sees them, and he knows, and he hears, and he remembers the promise he has given to this planet. He remembers the blood shed on Calvary's cross by his Son, Jesus Christ. The picture in the book of Revelation is the picture of the prayers of God's people ascending up to heaven, and he hears and does something about it. Hard times do not erase God's promise. Harsh treatment does not escape God's notice. Do you believe that? That's what Exodus is all about. That's what Revelation is all about. The awesome picture of a God who looks down on a hurting, abused people and planet. A God who hears, sees, remembers, knows the oppression that you experience. The sorrow that wearies your heart. The sin that grips your soul. The habits that destroy you. And he does something about it. God will not abandon his children. He feels with each of us. He feels with a sympathetic knowledge, and his knowledge is bathed in love. Our God is an awesome Redeemer. Two books, Exodus and Revelation. Two books with the same plot. Exodus 15 and Revelation 15 are closely linked. And what is supposed to be our response when we know that God knows and that he cares? Exodus 4:31 gives us the answer. "And the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped."